Amen. That's the gents. All right, if you have your Bibles, will you turn with me again to Colossians chapter 2, please? Colossians chapter 2. It's on page 1264. 1264. Colossians chapter 2, 1264, I'm reading verses 9 and 10. For in him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What does that mean? That means that all of the powers and attributes of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit are found in Jesus Christ. Then it goes on and says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Verse 10 contains one of the most powerful truths in our Christian religion. Look at this phrase in verse 10. Ye are complete in him. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we've had a lot of blessings today, starting with the Sunday school hour and then the baptism and now this morning service and the good song by the choir and the special music. And I pray that our hearts are prepared for the preaching of your word. I pray you'll bind Satan from our minds and from our midst. And I pray you'll keep our minds from wandering on other activities that we may have planned for the day and concentrate on the preaching of your word. Pray that some that need to might give their hearts to Jesus, as Bill and Rhonda did a couple of weeks ago. So bless your message in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul begins with a warning here in verse number 8. Look at verse number 8 again with me. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. He is saying, don't let the so-called thinkers of this world or the legalists of this world deceive you into thinking that you have to add something to what Christ has already done. You don't have to, because you are complete in Christ. Your completion in Christ doesn't depend upon your rags of righteousness. Your completeness doesn't depend upon your good works or your legalistic demands, because you are complete in Christ. Bill and Rhonda are brand new babes in Christ, but they are now complete in Christ. Christ is your perfection. Christ is your righteousness. Christ is your sanctification. And you are complete in Christ. Now, what does that mean, that we are complete in Christ? For one thing, it means that all we lost in Adam was restored in Christ. In Adam, we lost our knowledge of God, our title and fitness for heaven, and all that the creature originally had us made in the image of a holy and perfect, happy God. All we lost in Adam was restored in Christ a thousandfold. We lost fellowship in Adam, but in Christ it was restored. We lost living and had to die to live forever. We lost our godlike nature to a sinful nature, but we received a new nature and became a new creation and remade so that now we can inhabit heaven one blessed day. But what is meant by being complete in Christ? It's not enough to know that Christ was much more than a historical figure. It is understanding and believing that Jesus Christ was a Savior, a prophet, a priest, and a king. In Christ is to be saved, is to be born again, is to be converted. Complete in Christ is having all that a Christian needs and all that a heart can desires. If you still have your Bibles open, go over to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8, you'll find that on page 1201 of your King James Scofield Bible. Romans chapter 8, page 1201. Look with me at verse number 1. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation or no judgment to them which are in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ Jesus this morning, you will never, ever have to stand in judgment for your sins. They were all played on Christ on the cross, and he paid your sin debt for once and forever. And you'll never be charged with a sin. You'll never stand in judgment because of your sins. He paid the price in full. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12, page 1238. 1238, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, page 1238 in your Scofield Bible. 2 Corinthians 12, and look with me at verse number 2 of 2 Corinthians 12. Paul said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. The only way anyone is ever going to get caught up to the third heaven where God is and where God dwells, if you're going to do that in the rapture of the church, you have to be in Christ. Your connection to Jesus Christ is vastly different in your connection to any other living person. The closest relationship among human beings is the relationship of a husband and his wife. And the reason is, it's compared to the relationship to Christ and his church. Marriage, and by that I mean the only marriage the Bible approves of, and that's between a man and a woman, is the only earthly relationship where people become one. Likewise, all believers are one in Christ. And in some sense, a wife completes her husband, and a husband completes his wife. Something was missing in their lives until they met, married, and became one. Some of you in this auditorium this morning, in time past, I had the joy of uniting you as husband and wife. I said to the husband during the ceremony, will you take this woman to become your lawfully wedded wife? He said, I will. Then I turned to the wife-to-be, and I said, will you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband? And she said, I will. Those words made them husband and wife. And when you are asked the question, will you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior after you believe what he did on the cross and how he paid your sin debt and suffered for you and shed his blood and died in your place and was raised from the dead, will you receive him? When you say, I will, you become one with him and you are complete in Christ. A Christian's connection with Christ is different than a husband's connection with his wife. A Christian's connection with Christ is different than a pupil's connection with her teacher or an employee's connection with his employer. The only connection that will ever allow you to get into heaven is that you can get connected to the one and only one who can take away sins and the only one that opens up the door to get into heaven. So a believer upon his acceptance of Christ is immediately in Christ. And not only are we in Christ, but we are complete in Christ. Let's think for a moment about some of the things we lost in Adam when he turned his back upon God in the Garden of Paradise and disobeyed him. We lost our knowledge of God. Creation before Adam fell was the perfect mirror of God. Looking on its sunrise and the streams and the landscapes, man could see God. In fact, look with me back in the Old Testament to Psalm 18, please. The 19th Psalm, page 607. Psalm number 19, page 607, right about in the middle of the Bible. Psalm 19, page 607, and look at verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. But when Adam sinned, the mirror was broken into 1,000 pieces, and man could no longer see the image of God in his creation. Man has tried to look at the broken pieces, and he's tried to imagine what God is like and who God is, and he has framed a picture of God in his own mind. He looks into one broken piece, and he sees that God is good. He looks at another broken piece and shows that God is angry, and another one that shows God punishes sin. And it has left man with as many questions as there were broken pieces of the mirror. Questions like, if God be holy, will he punish all sin? Will he condemn all or will he save all? Who will he pardon and who will he condemn? The knowledge that was lost in Adam has been restored in Christ, and we see in him the very brightness of God's glory. We see in his tears God's compassion. We see in his miracles God's power. We see in his death God's justice. We see in his sacrifice God's love. That pure face was marred on the cross, but glory has been restored to it. Now, how can this holy God pardon our sins and allow us into heaven? Because of the cross, and because of we who trust in the one who hung up on that cross for our salvation, receives his pardon and the salvation of our souls. Yes, dear folks, if you are in Christ, you are complete in Christ. We are complete in Christ as far as our title to our four-footed inheritance is concerned. We lost in Adam our title to heaven. The law of Moses said, "This do and thou shalt live." That is the law that we were all placed under. And yet we know, because our conscience tells us, we cannot keep the law. We cannot keep one part of the law. It's impossible to do that. But Christ is to us what we never could be to God. Go back in your Bibles to the New Testament again and go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter. That'll be on page number 1233, 1233 of your Scofield Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, page 1233. Look at me at verse number 21 of 2 Corinthians 5. For he, speaking of God the Father, hath made him, speaking of God the Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I cannot keep the law, but Christ has kept it for me. I am in him, and the Heavenly Father doesn't see me the lawbreaker, but he sees Christ the lawkeeper. What we lost in Adam, our right to heaven, was restored in Christ. What a man could not do in the best of circumstances, and what he could never do in the worst of circumstances, Christ has done for us. And I, being the chief of all sinners, exercised my faith in his finished works and his shed blood and his giving his life, and he became my substitute, my sacrifice, and my scapegoat. And I gave to him my old tattered garments, and he gave to me his robe of pure white. Now God looks upon me as if I had never sinned, because I exchanged my righteousness for his righteousness, and now I am complete in Christ. Now that I am complete in Christ, not only did I receive my inheritance of heaven, but he made me fit for heaven. Heaven is a prepared place. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." He said, "I prepared this place. I'm building a place for you." The Bible says, "Prepare to meet thy God." Go back to Colossians again, please. Page 1262. Colossians, chapter number 1. Colossians 1, page 1262. Colossians chapter 1, page 1262. Look at verse number 12 with me, please. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We not only need a change of state, which is ours through Christ's righteousness being imputed to us, but we need a change of character, which is ours by Christ's indwelling spirit. I not only need to be complete as to my title, but also as to my character. And the same Savior sends his Holy Spirit to live inside of me, and he allows Christ to live his life out through me, and he makes me fit to live in that celestial city. Why? Because I'm complete in Christ. In heaven, I will breathe its air, join in its songs, take part in the services, mingle with the happy saints, and live the blessed life, live out the blessed beatitudes that the Lord gave on the Sermon on the Mount, which we cannot do in this life, but we will in the next one. I am complete in Christ. I was not complete in Christ through my baptism. I was not complete in Christ by being a member of Good Shepherd Baptist Church. I was not made complete in Christ because I'm a pastor and a preacher. I'm not that at all. I'm not complete in Christ because I partake of the Lord's Supper table every month. I'm not. But I'm complete in Christ through Christ and through Him alone. Now, do I need to sacrifice an animal upon the altar of sacrifice? No, I don't. Why? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, page 1300 in your Scofield Bible. Hebrews chapter number 10, page 1300. Hebrews chapter 10, page 1300. Look at verse 12. Verse 12, but this man, speaking of Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Do I need any good works to complete my salvation? No, I don't. Why? Turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, page 1284. 1284 in your Scofield Bible. Titus chapter 3. Look with me at verse number 5. Verse 5 of Titus 3. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Do I need the intercession of others on my behalf? No, I don't. Why not? Turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, page 1297. Hebrews chapter 7, page 1297, and verse number 25. Wherefore, He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. I am complete in Christ, and His precious blood cleanses me from all sin. Turn to 1 John chapter 1, last way back at the end of the New Testament. 1 John chapter 1, page 1321 in your Scofield Bible. 1321, John chapter 1, and look at verse number 7. John 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood, B-L-O-O-D, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all, A-L-L, all sin. Because I am complete in Christ, I am steadfast, I am unmovable, I'm always abounding in the work of the Lord. I am complete in Christ. I need nothing else. My salvation is sealed. My destiny is assured. I am guaranteed an abundant life. I have peace in a troubled world. I have fellowship with the finest people in the world. I have a church family that loves me. I have a dedicated family who does the same. I have a ministry that I love deeply and am doing what I love to do that brings such satisfaction and gratitude and joy. I am complete in Christ. Are you? Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the blessings of Your Word. We thank You for the dear Holy Spirit that put it all together so we could have it today. And we never take lightly this Bible that You have prepared for us and that we have. We never take that for granted. Thank You for this precious book that tells us how to be saved, tells us how to live, tells us about the future. What a great book. We thank You for it. We thank You for the written word. We thank You for the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we come down to that important part of any service, and that's the invitation. I cannot look upon the hearts of the people in this auditorium as You can. And You know who has made preparation to go to heaven, and You know those who have not. And I pray for those who have not that You'll work in their hearts, that they might give their hearts to Jesus, as the choir sang a while ago. Bless the invitation, as only You can, and help folks make decisions this morning that 100 years from now they'll be glad they made. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.